Hey, and welcome back to Coast AM. Suzanne Wilson with us this hour. We'll take your phone calls as we talk about skepticism, the afterlife, and the paranormal. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. Suzanne Wilson with us as we talk about her work when your partner doesn't believe. Interesting like that. So is your husband now 100% non-skeptical?
Yeah. Actually,
what a change.
Open-minded skeptic. He has changed. It's more open-minded skeptic. I mean, he takes in the information, examines it, gives it some thought, sees how, you know, it works in his life. But quite frankly, George, he is bored silly with this stuff, except for the non-human beings that are beneficial, or the ultra-terrestrial ETs, whatever you want to call them. That is the only interest area he has. Everything else, it's like, I'm bored.
But like afterlife, things like that, which fascinate me. He doesn't, he's
Have
not interested.
Have you seen him at a conference with me in all these years?
Never.
And see, that's the thing.
We didn't even know you were married, Suzanne.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Oh, well, I've got that big ring. But besides that, happily married for, it's going to be 33 years.
Well, he's a Marine, and you got to thank him for serving for us, too. When
I will. I will. But here's the thing.
Is he listening to you tonight?
Let me be me.
Well, that's the important thing. He compromised.
I don't think he compromised. I think he decided, you know,
it's smarter to be with you than not.
It's that, but it's also he saw the healing effect and the empowering effects of this work, not just me, but with other people. When I first decided to leave a very well-paid, very secure corporate job to do this, I worked out of my house, and I would have people over for readings, and he would see them come in, and their shoulders are hunched, and they look like death warmed over, and they would leave like a different person with hope. And I'm not saying that a reading heals people, but it's sure as a spoke in the wheel and of healing, and that made a huge difference, George.
Yeah, well, it sure did. Of all the topics you have dealt with in the paranormal and the supernatural, which one do you like?
I have so many. I'll tell you what, it's got to be intuition, because I've dived so deep into the studies that have been collated and measured and analyzed about people's intuitive experiences on a global scale. We can actually measure the occurrences, the frequencies of experiences. We can compare them across socioeconomic strata, across cultures. They're even now predicting how many people in a group could have deja vu. It just gets more interesting with time.
Let's go to the phones. We'll start by going to Ronald in Long Branch, New Jersey. Happens to be a first-time caller for us. Hi, Ronald. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I've been thinking about calling, and because it's amazing how many things in my life have been just like it. Two things I don't want to take up too much time, but I want to touch base on two things. I'm 62 years old. 1 year ago, I got my heart transplant, and during the heart transplant sector of my life, right during that same operation room, I had some amazing experiences with voices. All the, like, someone was talking to me, and I guess I think it was God, and because out of everything I could think of, the only thing that I always loved poetry, but I never believed in my poetry. And I remember the words saying, his exact words was, "Ron, you're past 50. That's not going to change, but it's not your time to go yet." And his exact words was, write and share your poetry. Do not judge your work. Do not judge your work. And you know, just that's only one of the many, many dreams I've had in my lifetime. But that would, you know, I just wanted to share that because that one captivated me. Secondly, and was related with my heart transplant. Right? The one that astounds me. Well, my whole life, I've always had many dreams flow through me, almost like music. I love poetry. I love music. And like Einstein once said, you know, if he had a choice, he'd be a musician because all of his formulas came on notes and music and things of that nature. So I found that that's quite interesting because I'm the type of person where my words will come in there, my poetry will flow. You know, I used to think that was wacky, and then you realize, you know, it's like an art. It's, certain people have certain ways. Now, to make one more example of a frequency call, I had back in the days when I was married, a high school girlfriend, and I was, this was, you know, a long time ago, but for a week straight, I'd dream that my ex-girlfriend in high school was talking to me. Next thing you know, I get a phone call, and she says, Ronnie, I'm sorry to bother you, but I know you're married and have a kid, child and everything, but I went through a horrific divorce, and I needed to speak with you.
And she found you. How?
Yeah, not only, no, but listen, yeah, right? But not only that, I had, again, a week straight, I even told my wife, I was like, I can't believe this, like I'm talking to her. After she spoke with me, I did not have another one of those dreams.
That's interesting. So, and how's the transplant run? Is that going well?
I am so blessed. I got it on February, Valentine's Day. And, yeah, what an experience. I mean, you know, it's so hard to explain, but it's...
How many years has it been?
1 year.
Just 1 year, that's all?
Yeah, I was very blessed in Newark, New Jersey. I was very blessed to...
Who was the donor, do you know?
You know, it's interesting. I'm from Central Jersey. And the bottom line with me is the donor was, hear me out, what they only shared with me with the donor was he was 38 years old. His family wanted to donate his heart on Valentine's Day. He was a rugged guy, you know, weightlifter, kind heart, big guy. Let's see, he blood A plus type. He was local, which is a 500-mile radius. That's what they...
That helped you.
And you know, now all of a sudden, and everybody, and I have a lot of family down at Forked River, and they were reading online because they're all different ages. I'm older and nieces and everybody's younger. But they were reading about somebody that donated a heart on Valentine's Day. It's strange. I haven't officially met the person, but...
Would you like to meet the family?
Would I?
Yeah.
You know, everything's it takes a while. You're so traumatized when you're going through it. You're like, you know, the actual operation.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay, and you know, it's interesting, too. You want to talk about how the heart works. The second night I was in, after the operation, I got a little chill from the window, and all of a sudden the heart felt like it was a live fish trying to get out.
Interesting. And, you know, they say sometimes, Ron, I want to ask you this because I've never chatted with someone who had a heart transplant.
Right.
But they say sometimes that you can pick up things from that person, from the donor. It somehow passes on, like their memory and stuff. Has that ever happened with you?
You know, I first off, I try to look for signs, but I haven't. My whole life's been like high energy. I was telling you about the frequencies and the sine waves, and I was trying to figure out. But to answer your question, I haven't. You know what I mean? I was always a hyper person anyway, so I was looking at the bodybuilder that they believe it is. I mean, this guy was like, I'm like waiting for my muscles to regrow. You know?
Well, good for you. You can keep pumping, as we say, and stay in great shape. That's a fascinating person, Suzanne.
You know, Ron, I had chills when you talked about hearing that voice telling you, basically, get back there. It's not your time yet. Do your thing. And that is such an amazing gift. The fact that you're sharing that with us right now, I hope that listeners, their takeaway is...
Oh, my gosh.
Do it now. You know? Leverage your unique talents, your unique gifts, bring them to the world, bring a little bit of heaven to earth. We need that. And I'd never spoken to anybody with a heart transplant before either.
No.
It's amazing.
It's either him or Dick Cheney, and I prefer Ron. Okay, thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. Next up, Mike the Millennial in Denver, Colorado. That's your new nickname, Michael.
Hey, George. Thanks. I appreciate that nickname. Good morning, by the way. Suzanne, it's great to speak with you. I actually was first turned on to your channel by Tom Danheiser, our wonderful producer at Coast to Coast. And he, he actually told me about his interview with Suzanne, which is on YouTube. I highly recommend it, by the way.
He's an amazing guest.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike.
So, yeah, it's really an honor to speak with you, Suzanne. Like, seriously, it's really great. The question I had for you today or tonight is what first inspired you to get into mediumship and know that this was kind of your true calling and that, you know, you've helped so many people throughout the years? What first inspired you to do that? Thank you.
Thank you for that question, Mike. And I have to tell you, I went into mediumship kicking and screaming against my will.
Really?
I did not want to do this professionally. No, I wanted my career. I wanted my stuff. I wanted my money. I wanted my titles. I wanted to keep, you know, amassing things that I didn't really need. But I actually was born like that. I was born with the ability to see colors and auras and spirits. And it was just a secret hobby that I was actually kind of ashamed of because I didn't want anyone to not respect me. I'm a completely different person now. And for me, it took a near-death experience to wake me up. I got sent back too.
Do you think more and more people are having ET contact or not?
I do. And I think we're more open to it now. It really helped. The whole Tic Tac story, the Navy with their new protocols, all of the little steps toward disclosure, no matter what motivates them, they're helping. And, you know, I have to go back to this St. Augustine talking way back in the 5th century about, he said something to the effect, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember exactly what he said, but it's coming true now. He says it's not because they are spirits that we call them angels. They only become angels when they are sent. Because the
That's
name
right.
angel refers to their office, not to their nature. And if you ask about the name of this nature, it is spirit. Being the messenger is the office. So he's saying, in effect, you know, these are spirits. They're not necessarily angels. They become the angel when they come here and they give the message. Maybe the message that we're getting are from not from angels, but they're our angels. They're those from other vibrations, other dimensions, other planets who don't want to see us destroy ourselves, and they're trying to help out. And we are seeing an increase in contacts from the other side, and we're, like I said, we're seeing these non-human beneficial beings turning up in unexpected places in research and in physical mediumship development, places where people have right intentions.
Let's go to Steve in Manhattan, New York. Welcome to the show. Thanks, Steven. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. I've been in telepathic communication with beings in other dimensions.
Like Suzanne. And, how did that happen for you?
There was actually a dimension where there's like filled with like a plain with desert filled with Egyptian pyramids. And I communicated with a bunch of beings in another dimension that around the bonfire, another dimension, and I started talking to them telepathically.
Is it ongoing, or was it just a one-time thing?
It was throughout my life, and then also I've been in contact with extraterrestrial beings.
So it's still happening?
Recently hasn't been happening, but a large portion of my life it happened.
Do they give you any messages or anything like that?
They have it's like a weird dimension that it looks like a Mad Max type dimension or something like that.
But it seems real to you, right?
It doesn't, because I think I've actually transported to another dimension because there's in between dimensions, like if it goes between time, so you travel through time, there's like in between dimensions, and it's like creatures in between dimensions and time. So I saw a craft. Weird, like a craft, which had like a exhaust pipe on it, traveling through dimensions.
Interesting. What do you think of that, Suzanne? interesting
trips.
Well,
it sounds like they're still in physical form, or they can be in physical form, where there are some from other dimensions who have, they've evolved to the point where they're just light beings, but we may perceive them in a certain way. My question is, how do you discern them to be? In their presence, do you just feel only love? Do you feel like you've been enriched by some of the things that they share? And finally, it's very important to keep a diary or a journal of these contacts so you can see patterns and trends in how the communication is ongoing.
That's an interesting take there, Suzanne, too. How many people do you think are experiencing things like he?
Unpredictable, really. All we know is that more people are willing to talk about it now than ever before. Even 2 years ago, this probably would have been a career killer for me. I'm not going to go for a reading for her. I don't want to see this lady, and I don't do tons of readings anymore because I'm mostly teaching, but it would have been bad because, listen, George, your loved one has died. You want to go get a reading with a medium. You're just getting your head around the fact that we don't really die, only the body dies. And you hear that she's talking about ETs? I don't know. That's a little hard for a beginner.
For a skeptic, it's not, huh?
Exactly. But it's changing now. And I think the fact that, again, I have to go back to the news media and the reporting. And we're just going to see a lot more of that disclosure coming in. More minds will be open. There'll be more cracks in the close-minded skeptic's head where light can get in.
Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there, sir. Go ahead.
Hey there, George and Miss Susan. I got to tell you something about you. I don't know him now, but I was a military police officer, and all the EMPs in the Marine Corps come to the Army MP school. So I salute the Marine Corps MPs.
All right.
There you go, Miss Wood. Hoorah! But anyway, and salute George. Of course, a great Navy man George was.
That's right. Let's not leave out the Navy.
Don't forget the Navy.
But anyway, I'm what you call a God, guns, and gold man, the Bible, bullets, and beans man. I don't know if you've ever been to Louisiana. We want to welcome you to Mardi Gras, so I hope you and your husband come for Mardi Gras. And we have a lot of voodoo and hoodoo and all like that stuff down here. And my question for you, there's a show on CBS called Evil. I was telling Miss Donna Walker that show is kind of true to life, where the Catholic Church is battling spirits. So do you battle evil spirits? Thank you, ma'am. God bless you, Miss Wilson.
And God bless
you. I've never heard you talk about evil, Suzanne. You're always upbeat.
Yeah. Well, first off, I have not found any evidence that there is a devil, an individual, a devil, and that the sections of the Bible that justify that there is some kind of devil.
You haven't met Tom on a late night on Saturday.
Give him some tequila, right?
That's the devil.
But there's in any event, there are big problems with the translation of words like devil from the Bible. But I will tell you, I've heard of, and fortunately not encountered, the evil in the living, but I think the living are much more scary than anything in the spirit world, quite frankly.
Yeah, they probably are. We're going to take a break pretty soon, Suzanne, and come back and take final phone calls for you. And then again, Suzanne's schedule is on her website, carefreemedium.com. She's got a documentary on Amazon going with James Van Prague. I'm going to be meeting her Saturday at Conscious Life this coming weekend in Los Angeles. That information is at coasttocoastam.com in our events section. And looking forward to that. It's also in the highlight reel. She's got a Helping Parents Heal conference she's going to in April. And then a cruise to Alaska in August. On our next Coast to Coast program, Mr. Lobo joins us to talk about some horror films and some scary things, so make sure you're part of the show. Then we'll have those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines for you. And we are back with our final segment with Suzanne Wilson. Suzanne, the ebook that you're giving away for free, how do people get to it?
Go to carefreemedium.com, and it's right there at the top of the landing page. And it'll be there for a while, and then after that, it'll always be on my books page. Victor and Wendy Zammit and I have decided, you know, it's because it's brief, it's easy to understand. We don't want to turn it into a big book and charge for it. We want you guys to get this out and share it with everyone.
What has been the most enlightening aspect of all of this that has ever occurred for you?
The comfort of knowing that this isn't all there is. The comfort of knowing that no matter what happens to you or what's going to happen to you, that you're blessed. And how do I know? If you're still here on the earth, you still have things to experience. You still have work to do in the soul, and your soul still wants you to be here. That is an amazing comfort that you can always turn to.
And are you 100% sure that the afterlife exists?
You know, because I'm not a scientist, I can do the 100%. I know
that's pretty dramatic.
Will say, right? They'll say 99% or 99.5, but I am 100% sure that when our bodies die, it isn't lights out, show over, that we actually go home to heavenly home, and that this, perhaps, as they say, this earthly life, this is the dream.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Chris in Merced, California, west of the Rockies. Chris, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Chris.
I live in Merced, and we used to have Castle Air Force Base in Atwater. And my friend, she used to be in the Air Force, and I've seen pictures she showed me, but she says that she's being attacked by entities, that she saw aliens amongst the personnel in the Castle Air Force. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to find out to help her if I can help to discern whether she actually is being attacked by entities?
If she feels that she's being attacked, she needs tools to deal with that. Rather than spending any time figuring out if it's true or not, give her some tools at first.
What kind of tools?
And empowerment.
You're talking about a hammer, a shovel, what?
Yeah, right. To beat them over the head. No, grounding, centering, protection prayers, invoking the archangels. If she's not feeling better after using some of these simple grounding and centering techniques, then you look further into it and try to find out what is the cause, what's going on here. But I do hear that sometimes in the military, when people are exposed to, you know, aircraft or coming across the scene, that there can be some after effects. So I would definitely look into it.
Chris, any follow-up question there?
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
Am I an intuitive? Because as I've gotten older, I've been able to see one vision while I was meditating Buddhist style, and I've heard what I thought was the voice of God.
What's the definition, Susanna, of being an intuitive?
Intuition is the inner voice, the inner compass, the inner GPS, and is connected with the higher self or the soul. If you dig a little deeper, the higher self or the soul is what's operating the brain. The brain is not consciousness. Consciousness is non-local. So your soul is driving the body right now, and your soul talks to you, and it'll do whatever it has to do to get the point across. When you're meditating, you're quiet enough to hear the inner voice. Good for you that you do that. And if you only do it 5 minutes a day, it will still be strong for you.
Next up, we've got Brenda in Morgantown, West Virginia. Hello, Brenda. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Hey, good.
Hey, Suzanne, I got a couple questions for you, but please bear with me here. My neighbors had a son shot himself Thursday.
Oh, gosh.
And 11 months ago, they had a son that was killed in a car wreck, so they lost two teenage boys in 11
people.
Months. And I'd just like to have all the Coast listeners out there, please pray for them.
You got
really,
that.
It's really tragic.
I'm going to interject right now. This is very important. There's a group called HelpingParentsHeal.org. I've been with this group for 10 years since the very beginning. They're now 14,000 members worldwide. They have online meetings. They celebrate the continuing relationship with their children in heaven through signs, symbols, dream visits, and they are beyond grief support. They're spiritual support. So look them up, okay?
Yeah, sure will. Thank you.
You were a keynote speaker at one of their events in April.
I'm a keynote. They have Raymond Moody. They have Eben Alexander, Dr. Mary Neal. God, I just named three.
Where is that going to be at?
Dave Kessler.
This is in April. And, yep, it's
Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay. Okay, my question for you, Suzanne, is how I just don't understand. I've been involved in lots of paranormal things all my life, but how do you know for sure what you're really supposed to be doing? Because I'm 62, I've been alone for 8 years, my husband passed away, and I just feel like my life is going to nothing, and I could be doing so much more. What is it that really that God wants me to do? I mean, how do I find that out?
God will use you.
What's the mission?
Thank you. My finding is, I love this question. Thank you, thank you. My finding is that God will use you right in place where you are. Take a look around you and find what can you do to be of service to humanity, to be of service to the earth, right in your neighborhood where you are. Where is the need? And once you start helping an individual or an organization, doors just start to open up, creativity starts to flow. Then you might find, oh, I want to write poetry, or oh, I want to paint. Express yourself artistically as well. But look for where you can be of service right where you are to start.
That's important. Almost critically important, isn't it, Suzanne?
It is, because of the fact that we're all connected. This so-called separation, we think we're separate from each other just because we have separate physical bodies. We're souls. We're connected to each other. We're connected to God, the source. And we're just fooling ourselves into thinking that we're separate. And this is why we feel the disconnection is so painful. We're away from heavenly home. We can't go there. We shouldn't try to go there until it's our rightful time. But meanwhile, you know, heaven's home. But don't be homesick. You've got things to do here. And be of service and also let other people help you.
Let's go to George in Corpus Christi, Texas. Hi, George. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. I always write these questions down. Okay, here I go.
Okay.
A believer is faith. An agnostic is skeptic. An atheist is a non-believer. Are these the three paradigms or ways of thinking that power intention, which in turn steer consciousness and higher consciousness, or a.k.a. God and souls? And I'll hang up, George, so I can hear it as always.
Okay, good question. Go ahead, Suze.
It's kind of a multi-part question. I'm going to try to address it with
one
principle. Well, I think it's important to remember that consciousness is non-local. It's not located in the brain. It's not located in the heart. It's located outside of the body.
It's out there somewhere.
It's out there somewhere in the matrix, right? But in the ether. But there's a part of consciousness operating the body. That means since consciousness is not local, and we're not all here, there's part of us that can connect with these other realms. That means that we have this fantastic asset at our disposal 24/7, whenever we need it. We can tap in, we can listen, we can sense the intuitive voice. And you'll know it's the intuitive voice, my friend, if it comes in very calm, very neutral, it simply is. If it comes with a big emotional charge or panic, that's monkey mind. But the intuition or higher self can talk to you through your calm and your peace. Intention's important. Clearing your mind's important. Prayer and meditation are important, but you don't have to do it for hours and hours. 5 minutes a day will do it for you.
Let's go to Brenda in Modesto, California. Thanks for calling. Brenda, you're up with us.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a couple questions. I've always had an intuitive thing, and then somebody said, I kind of think I have like an empath or something, but I'm not sure. I just kind of fought it all my life because, I don't know, it was scary. But and also my daughter died in a car wreck when she was six, but before she died, she used to tell me she was going to die before me. And I used to get real upset and say, don't say that.
Oh,
and then,
my God. At six, she said that. Jeez.
Yeah, or even younger.
Or even
before
younger.
That, when she died. She was almost seven when she died in the car. But she used to tell me she was going to die before me. And then she had a little friend. He had gotten ran over. And I had taken her to the cemetery. And she would talk to him like she was going to see him soon. And, you know, I was just tripping out on that. Well, after she died, she had pictures. She was drawing angel wings on herself, and I hadn't even noticed. You know,
wow.
I think it was kindergarten. She was doing they were doing self portraits every month, and she was drawing angel wings on herself.
With herself.
Yeah, and there was like a couple where she had like a halo, and I didn't really realize she was like floating or something. But she like really, you know, touched a lot of people, you know.
Do they know this? How did they pick this up, Suzanne? I mean, how would she put little wings on her body all of a sudden?
I actually have data for this as well. It's anecdotal that I've collected over the last decade working with the bereaved parents as a volunteer. And I can tell you that knowingness doesn't mean that there was something that you were supposed to do to prevent it. Some parents will say, I always knew that this child wasn't going to be with me forever. It's a weird feeling. Was I supposed to prevent it? And I tell them, no, you had some precognition because the soul knows. The soul knows in some way what's coming. In your case, it was your precious little girl that her soul knew. And this was a way of giving you a heads up that when you get through the worst of your horrible aching grief, that you can remember, this was coming. This was meant to come. And what a special little girl. What a wonderful little soul that she could come here for a very short time and make this tremendous gift to you, this impact in your life. It takes a very special soul to come here and do that. We don't understand the whys of it, my dear lady. We don't understand the whys. We're told from the spirit world that this is part of the growth that we agreed to experience while we're here. My best advice to you, based on everything that I've witnessed, is don't try to figure out exactly why she passes at six. You'll know when you go home, but know that is the way that the soul is communicating and telling you that this is going to happen no matter what you do. It's a way to let you know, don't find fault with yourself. And I promise you that the day will come, I know this, the day will come where when it's your rightful time to go, she'll welcome you with open arms, and you'll be in that heavenly country where nothing like this ever happens again.
Let's go to Shirley in Sacramento, California. Hi, Shirley, go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
My question to you is, I'm spiritual, and so my beliefs are real strong with me. What I see almost on a consistent basis, day after day, is numbers, identical numbers, like 1111 or 111 or 222. Or three. I see sometimes fives, and they're always in, you know, in different sequence, but always, in groups, same number.
Which one do you see the most, Shirley?
111 and 222.
What do you think of that, Suzanne? I think our numbers lady, Glynis McCants, says that's a moment of enlightenment. What do you think?
I agree with Glynis, and there are dictionaries out there that tell you when you see this number, it means exactly this. And I think it's a guideline, not a hard and fast rule, because I know people that the number that pops up is their loved one in spirit's birth date. There was a woman I know that always looks at the clock at 10:17 a.m. or p.m. She looks at the clock at 10:17.
It just spots it, yeah.
Just spots it. Exactly. So I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all, but what we do find is that it is your higher self, it's your own soul, and it is your spiritual team giving you a heads up that, hey, we've got you. You're on track. It's okay. And the best thing to do if you want to figure out exactly the meaning for different numbers is keep the diary and as you look back, go, okay, what was happening right before I got that number? What happened right after I got that number? Because sometimes you can find the meanings that way. But the overall meaning is you are loved.
Suzanne, we've only got a minute left. Would you give out your website again for everybody in the name of the ebook you've got available?
Yes, please. Carefreemedium.com, because I live and work in Carefree, Arizona. And the ebook by Victor and Wendy Zammit and me is called When Your Partner Doesn't Believe. You can go to carefreemedium.com and download your free copy now and share it with as many people as you like.
I'll see you Saturday at Conscious Life in L.A.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much. And thank you to Premier Networks, Coast to Coast, and to Tommy D.
Thank you, Susan. Get some sleep. I know you're going to be busy at the Conscious Life Expo all day tomorrow, too, which is this morning, Friday. So keep doing your thing. Oh, by the way, don't forget to sign up for our free YouTube channel at Coast to Coast AM Official in the YouTube search bar. It's that simple. For Michael Cosio, Donna Walker, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.